Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, going to give you a brief update of what's going on over here in the Africa Mission. We're working at the church compound. We have a little marketplace going up there. We have a posho mill to grind maize flour, and we have a market, small marketplace, a duka, they call it here in Kenya, which is just a small shop. We sell sugar, soap, and those types of things there. And now we're going to build a little hotel restaurant alongside the road, right beside the marketplace, and so people can stop in there and get tea and coffee and mandazi, little pastries. And so this is going to be a new venture for us and a new venture for Makunda Village. There's nothing like it in Makunda Village. Makunda has been a bit of a barren place for many years. And so this will be a new venture for them, something new, a place for them to stop, visit with each other, get some snacks. And so we hope this will be a place where we can minister to people and witness to them, and an opportunity to break down some of the barriers, some of the misconceptions people have of each other in Makunda, the hatreds they have for each other. And so the church is going well. We have about 100 members in the church, and then the children's home. The children are out of school now, and we're going to have this week a children's fun day. And this fun day, we're expecting about 200 children to show up, and we'll feed them a good meal of rice and beans and vegetables, and then we'll also be playing games with them, and for a couple hours in the morning teaching them stories of Jesus. So it's a great opportunity, a great witnessing tool, a testimonial tool to tell them about Jesus, and at the same time feed their stomachs and get them excited about knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Many of these children are Muslim children. More than half of the Makunda Village people in our area are Muslim, and so many of these children are Muslim children, and so we'll be sharing with them the stories of Jesus, and for many of them it will be the first time they have heard stories of Jesus, the first time they've heard about our Lord and our Savior. So it's going to be a tremendous opportunity for us to minister to them. Well, today we're going to be talking about a kingdom template or a ministry template. And I use that phrase, that terminology, because I want you to know that God has a template, He has a plan, and that plan is for every single Christian believer. You have a call on your life, every born-again believer, you have a call on your life, you have a destiny that was spoken over you even before you were born. And so as you move forward in your call and in your destiny, as you move forward in the plan that God has for your life, you're going to discover that there is a template already established among the disciples that Jesus called to Himself. And these disciples went out. Jesus sent them out two by two, first in Matthew chapter 10, and then at the end of the book of Matthew, at the end of His ministry, Jesus said, "Go into all the nations." And this is my call, this is your call. And we are to go to all the nations, sharing the good news of the gospel, sharing the hope that lies within us. And beloved, if you do that, you're going to find fulfillment in your life. As you pick up your cross and carry it daily, you're going to find a passion for the work. You're going to find a passion in your life. And I would say to you today, if you have been a Christian for a long time and you're stuck in a rut, you feel like you are in the doldrums, you can find this passion, find something to do in your local church, and then start looking outward. As you look outward, you will find that there is a whole world out there. It is a big, big world of lost people. It is a big, big world of people who don't know Jesus Christ, and who don't know their right hand from their left in terms of salvation. And it is up to us, beloved, it is up to us to reach out to them, to tell them the good news of the gospel, to tell them how they can be saved. Their burning question in their mind is, what must I do to be saved? And so you can tell them that. And so this template for ministry that Jesus laid out for the disciples is appropriate for us today. And it is a template that cannot fail you anywhere you go, any place you go in the world. You're going to find this template will work. You lay it over the population, you lay it over the people, and then you can start as the Lord directs you to start. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, let's go back just a couple of verses. He says in verse 6, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, what did he mean by that? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's saying that as you go preach the kingdom of heaven, that which is in heaven shall be done on earth. All of the sectors of society, the arts, the media, the government, the church, the educational sector, all these sectors of society, family, all of these sectors of society are within the scope of the kingdom of God. God wants to see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he says, pray ye like this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so God's desire, Jesus' desire, is that the kingdom come down to earth and establish itself here on earth through the arms, the hands, the feet, the words, the actions of the born-again believers. In other words, we are the conduit. We are the vessel that God is going to use. We are the vessel that God is going to use to establish the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. And beloved, when you're part of that vessel, when you are a vessel for kingdom activity, you're going to get excited, you're going to have a passion, you're going to get thrilled about what you're doing. I'm not saying go out tomorrow and quit your job. No, you still have to put food on the table for yourself and your family. But when you work for the kingdom and you get a kingdom mindset, that God's plan for this earth is to look like heaven. And if you get that kingdom mindset, beloved, you're going to have a whole different mindset about what you're doing here on this earth. You're going to have a whole different mindset about what your purpose on this earth is. You'll find purpose in your life that you've never had before. And so Jesus said, say that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he said, here is the template. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Well, beloved, I'm going to start with that last phrase there. Freely you have received, freely give. It is not yours to hang on to. It is not yours to hoard. When God gives us his power, he gives us his authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. It is not your power. Don't sit on it. Don't just sit on the church pew and say, wow, look at me, look at my faith. Find something to do with your faith. Find something to do with the power that is available to you. All authority, Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, all authority has been given to me. And then he transferred it to the disciples, which is us. He transferred it to the disciples. And so we have that same authority to do these very things, to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and raise the dead. We have the authority to do those things. And so for that reason, we need to take that authority and run with it and help the Lord establish the kingdom here on this earth. Well, let's look at these four things, one at a time, the first being heal the sick. Well, read through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four books of the Bible, and you will see how many times, I can't even start to number the number of times that Jesus healed the sick in his earthly ministry. And he was only here for 3.5 years, and he It says many times he went into the villages and he healed all of the diseases. Not only does the Bible describe individual healings for individual people, but it also describes many, many times when he healed all of the diseases, all of the illnesses within a particular village or a particular area. And so what does the Bible say about healing the sick? In James 5:14, it says, if there is any sick among you, let him, the sick person, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And so as we are beset with sickness, we can call for the elders of the church and ask them to pray over us, lay hands on us, anoint us with oil, lay hands on us, pray for us. And if you're an elder of the church, encourage people to do that. You don't have to be an elder of the church to go out and lay hands on people, though. If you're a born-again believer, you have that same authority to pray for people. How do you know if you have the gifts of healings? It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the gifts is the gifts of healings. How do you know if you have it? The only way you can ever possibly know is by laying hands on people and praying for them. It's a very simple thing. You don't know if somebody is going to get healed. That's not your prerogative. You don't know if somebody's going to receive a miraculous healing. That isn't your prerogative. It's not your judgment. But you lay hands on people, and in faith you believe they will, and in faith you encourage them to believe that they will be healed. Some people have great faith. Some people have only a little faith. But you lay hands on them, you pray for them, and you let the Lord do his work. Mark chapter 16, verse 18. This is a commission in the book of Mark. Jesus said to the disciples, these signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Well, beloved, if Jesus said it, you can believe it. If Jesus said it, that's good enough for me. He said, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Everybody's going to receive some kind of a healing. It may not be an obvious, miraculous, 100% healing the minute that you lay your hands on them. It might not even happen the next day, but there is going to be some kind of a healing take place because the power of God cannot be denied. And greater is he that is in you, that greater is he of that power of God is in you than that little he that is in the world, than that little he that is in that sick person. They're going to receive some kind of a healing when you lay hands on people. And so exercise your faith, stretch out your faith, and lay hands on people and watch and see what the Lord will do. Well, the second thing is cleanse the lepers. And we look at a story in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his feet and implored Jesus, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean, or you can make me whole. And so then Jesus put out his hand and touched the man, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. Well, we don't have so much leprosy nowadays like they did in biblical days, although here in Africa there are still some leper colonies. I have not been to a leper colony, but I have heard that there are still some leprosy colonies around, and it was a dread disease back in those days. It just ate up the skin of the person and even other parts of the body into the bone and such. And so it's a dreadful disease, but the power of God was available to cleanse the lepers, to make the lepers whole. And so that power is still available today, and you don't probably not going to ever see a leper. Maybe you will, but there's other diseases that are just as dreadful and just as unfortunate, cancer being one, and We just recently went through the COVID virus. People needed prayer for COVID virus. People needed prayer for breathing problems, neurological problems, heart issues associated with COVID virus. And still even today, many people reacting negatively to the vaccines. They need prayer. And so there's a opportunity and opportunity for prayer for people, even today, with all types of dreadful illnesses. Well, the third part of the template is raise the dead. And you probably say, well, Jim, how am I going to get an opportunity to pray for any dead person? Well, this doesn't happen very much in the USA, but it does happen some in other countries. They don't have the rapid response medical care. They don't have the rapid response of the mortuary and all of that that goes surrounding a dead person. And so it's a bit unusual for something like this to happen. But I will say that in foreign countries, especially underdeveloped countries, that this can happen. You can find yourself in a situation where you might be called to or have an opportunity to pray for a dead person. And so this is a clear miracle. That's why Jesus included this in the template for the Kingdom of God ministry. It is a clear miracle, and when it happens, it shocks people. When it happens, it shakes whole villages, shakes whole regions. And I had the privilege and the honor to pray for a dead person, a dead pastor in Costa Rica many years ago, and the Lord raised him up. And it was a shocking, although very quiet, miracle. Very few people knew about it because it was not out in the public. It was not open to the public. And so I wrote about it in the book recently published called Prophecies for America. And so Jesus himself raised many in his ministry. In John chapter 11, he has gone to see Lazarus, who has been dead for 4 days now. And so John records this story about the raising of Lazarus. Lazarus is already in the tomb. He's been dead. His body is starting to stink. And so when Jesus gets here to the village where Lazarus is at, he says to Lazarus' sister Martha, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha said, "Yes, Jesus, I believe. You are the resurrection. I believe you are the Son of God." And so as Jesus then went to the tomb, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And so Lazarus came out of that tomb. They rolled the stone away. Lazarus came forth out of that tomb, and he shed those grave clothes, put on his new clothes. And so this is one of the most astounding miracles in the whole Bible. And the reason Jesus did it was to show people he had power over death. And of course, with his own resurrection, he further solidified, he further conquered the sting of death. And he showed the devil that the devil had no power over his death. And so when you pray for somebody, if you're ever in that situation who has already died, it's a great, clear miracle that the supernatural power of God is greater than anything the devil can possibly do here on this earth. And there is another way to view this in the current day and age, and that is people are walking dead. They look like they're alive. They have breath. They have blood pulsing through their veins, but they're dead. They're trapped in pornography addiction. They're trapped in all kinds of drug addiction, methamphetamines and cocaine and all kinds of other drug addictions. And they're also dead because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so as you go about your daily walk, as you go about your life, you can encounter people who are walking dead and they're separated from their God. They're separated from their Creator, and you can help raise those dead. It's not a physical death. that the people are in. It's a spiritual death, and you can be an instrument to bring them back to life. You can pray for them, bring them back to life, and you can accomplish this part of the template by raising spiritually dead people and see to it that they get started in their walk with their Lord. And it's just as valuable, it's just as encouraging. Even those that are physically dead, if you raise them up, someday they're going to die physically again and leave this earth and never come back. And so as you raise those who are spiritually dead, you will help them realize their own destiny, realize their own calling, and you can raise the dead and fulfill this part of the kingdom template. While the last part is cast out demons, and many Christians have a false concept about demons. They think because they're born again, no demons are ever going to bother them. And when they walk into church, they think the demons have to stay out in the parking lot. And it's a crazy concept that people have. They didn't get that from the Bible. If you read that in the Bible, show me where you read it. Because all kinds of people, even born-again believers, have demons. And people who are not believers certainly have demons. But even born-again believers have demons. They're not demon-possessed because the Holy Spirit of God is within them. But they can certainly be demon-oppressed, demon-harassed, demon-controlled to a large extent. And so you need to cast out demons. Get used to the idea. Start casting them out of yourself. Demons of fear. Do you have a demon of fear? Well, let me ask you, how would you like to come to Africa to minister? What is your first response? Maybe you have a demon of fear. How would you like to get up in front of people and preach the gospel? What is your first response? Maybe you have a demon of fear. Well, you can cast out demons. Start with yourself. Start with your family. Start with your children. And then you can work out from there. You can start from there and start walking in your ministry. Get rid of that demon of fear first and foremost, and then start walking in your ministry. Beloved, I guarantee you, God will put people in front of you, maybe teenagers, maybe drunks, maybe people who are drug addicted, maybe people who are completely forlorn about their life and discouraged about their life and contemplating suicide. I don't know what people God will put in front of you, but I guarantee you there are people around you who have demons and demons controlling their behavior, and they need to have those demons cast out. And as a born-again believer, you can get started doing that, and you can get started helping people on their walk and into their destiny as you cast out their demons. Well, I'm going to finish up here in Revelation chapter 21. What does the kingdom of heaven look like? What are we to expect when the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he was speaking about the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And he, God, will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Well, we're never going to have that totally here on this earth. This is a fallen world. The devil is the ruler of this world, but Jesus said, never mind, I have overcome the devil, I have overcome the world, and through his power, beloved, we can overcome the world also, and this world can look like the kingdom of God is at hand, and God himself will be here with us. He is here with us through the Holy Spirit, and the former things will pass away for you in your life here on this earth. Well, beloved, I hope you enjoyed this message. We appreciate your support. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We invite you to partner with this ministry, pray for us, help support this ministry, not only for the radio broadcast, but also all the great things going on here in Africa. And we invite you to support us. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a note of support. Let us know you're listening. Include a check of support. And God will bless you. God will bless us. And we can move forward to bring the kingdom of God onto this earth as it is in heaven. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.